Local Talk is the signature local interview program on KHOI that explores people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. It celebrates the creativity, diversity, and civic spirit of our community. This interview aired on Local Talk.
Our next guest is Keith Morgan, Story County Emergency Coordinator. Keith, welcome again to Local Talk.
Good morning. Appreciate the opportunity.
Quick thing. We were talking briefly outside the studio here about the Saturday night of the football game when Iowa State's game was canceled. You were there in the emergency center at Jack Trice Stadium, and you saw that something unusual was happening weather-wise. What did you see that night?
Well, we're very fortunate. Iowa State University has partnered with the National Weather Service. So we got a briefing at 4 o'clock to look at what was coming on in. And they were predicting that it would start at about halftime. But things rapidly developed. So they had one person that was actually up in the stadium, and I was monitoring. I have some specialized weather radar software, and I was monitoring it in what we call our emergency operations center, which is separated from the stadium, where we can take in information and converse with those in the stadium to try and fill in any holes that might be there. But they had really good information coming directly from the National Weather Service up there in the stadium. So we were watching them. We saw that the storms just started training right over top of us. And there's a lot of different factors that go into that. And when it gets going, then it's awful hard to predict when it's going to move along. But you could see that those storms were just going to sit over top of us.
Sit over the top as opposed to the normal practice of west-to-east movement.
Typically, yes. We have west-east, but sometimes it's the system that creates it moves very slowly as it is moving from west to east, and that's what we seem to have seen during the game.
That was a memorable night indeed. Tremendous lightning and thunder here. We've had it all this summer, haven't we? We've had torrential rains. We've had flooding. We've had tornadoes in some communities here. And September being preparedness month, just wondering, are people prepared?
Well, you can always be more prepared, and it's important that we be realistic that it's risk management, as we call it. But there's a lot of things people can do that are relatively low cost and provide themselves a lot of protection from it. There's the be ready, the https://, www.readiness.gov, and you go /September. That's looking at what you can do from FEMA to get yourself ready. And it's all the way from getting some materials to getting insurance, a whole wide spectrum of things you can do.
You know, we always hear about people having the need to have a plan, practice a plan if something happens. From your experience, you've done this for a while now. Do people, including people listening to this broadcast right now, do they truly have they made a plan on what would happen if winds hit, if a tornado hit, if flooding hit? Have they made a plan on what to do inside and outside their house?
They have the short-term plan. They know that if their weather radio goes off, hopefully they have the weather radio, that if it's high winds that they're supposed to go down in their basement. But have they really thought about that the storm has now come through, the windows are busted out of their house, possibly they smell gas or something like that? Have they really thought through what are they going to do for the next 72 hours? Do they have that wrench so they can turn off the natural gas? Do they know where the water supply shutoff is in their house so that if a pipe is broken, that they don't flood their house with water? All of those different things they probably haven't thought about. They may not have the water stored in a basement someplace safe so that they can have something to drink for the next 72 hours, meals to eat, a can opener for that can of soup that they've got down in the basement. All of that is where they haven't thought. And on the front end of it, when was the last time they went through and took an inventory of the stuff that's in their house and really cataloged it so they could utilize that insurance, again, hopefully, that they've looked over to make sure that it covers them for the kind of threats that they have?
You just mentioned something very simple, having food. I think a lot of people, and you tell me if I'm right on this, think, oh, yeah, if the power goes out, we'll keep it. We've got it in the refrigerator, and we'll just eat something. Well, they don't realize they won't have power. There won't be anything to cool that food. And they still think, in my impression, we'll go down to Fairway and Hy-Vee and pick something up. May not have a Fairway or Hy-Vee that's open to buy anything.
Think about Joplin, where an entire swath south of the town. You may not even have a car to go down to Fairways and Hy-Vee. All of that stuff may have been cleared out by those that may have gone down there before you. It's always better to make sure that you have what you need to take care of yourself. Something to even prepare the food in down there after the storm has moved through and your kitchen is pretty much gone.
How long should people be prepared to be self-sufficient in the event of an emergency? 24, 48? I mean, in other words, they can't assume authorities are going to be able to reach their neighborhood to help them. How long should people be able to survive on their own?
72 hours is the start point that we look at for everybody to be prepared. But think beyond that. Again, we think about food and water. What about your medicines? Do you have a three-day supply of medicine? I wear contacts. Do I have a set of glasses someplace that is safe so that I can go ahead and see what I need to be able to see? If you rely on, like I said, any sorts of medicines, think about your pets too. Have something for them to eat and drink and leashes and to be able to take care of them should you have to evacuate your house.
What about such things as insurance? Are most people prepared insurance-wise?
Most people are probably underinsured. Most people probably haven't thought about flood insurance just because they don't have to get it. As we were talking before we came on in, there's been a lot of flash flooding around here that has affected people's basements. And that can cost you an awful lot of money. Just 1 inch of water in a basement can cost $25,000 in damages to your homes. And that comes from the Be Prepared website. But you don't think about it, but you're probably going to have to cut out any sort of drywall that you have down there. Electrical equipment can be impacted. Your furnace, your water heater, all of those different items can be impacted by it.
There is training that people can undergo. In California, I took a couple of years ago what's called a CERT training class, Community Emergency Response Training. And it was an intensive course talking about how we could help other people in case of an emergency in terms of CPR, first aid, triage, the whole thing. There is training people can take here to learn more about how to help themselves and their neighbors, their nearby people survive.
Again, the FEMA readiness.gov has actually got a section in there where people can watch some video, online videos of CPR, stop the bleed, as we call it, that immediate first aid trauma kind of stuff that a huge gash to somebody's leg by flying debris
right.
That causes arterial bleeding. How to go ahead and stop that stuff. We also encourage any organizations out there. We have what's called the Coalition for Disaster Recovery, which is organizations coming together, and some of them specialize. You wouldn't think it takes much training to do sandbagging, but there's a right way to do sandbagging and a wrong way, and I rarely see the right way being done on television. And if we can get some of our local organizations, churches and like that, to take on those kind of training, they will probably be leading a lot of other people on how to do that right. Because we always get a lot of volunteers. What I don't have are those that have had the training to be able to do this much more efficiently and effectively and safely after
Keith,
a disaster.
If somebody wants to get training, what should they do?
They can contact us, especially if they have a specialty that they would like training, mm-hmm. and we can link them up with it. And hopefully they can be somebody that leads the way within organizations that they're a part of. If nothing else, we can train them up on, again, what does it take to be prepared, and they can take that message on back into the organizations that they participate in.
And you're the Story County Emergency Coordination Office in Nevada?
Story County Emergency Management. If you go on the Story County website, storycountyiowa.gov, there's a link to emergency management, and then we have a whole bunch of links that break out from there different ways that people can be involved and how they can help out their communities, because it has to be communities. There's only two of us in the office. So we rely on just that cascading effect of us training up a few more folks that will then take it into their organization and train up even more people. The RATS is a classic example of that, our Rapid Action Teams for Sheltering, that we've now have them across, and they can fill in a gap, and they're ready to go to help out their communities
and
quickly.
They give people temporary housing in emergencies.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The Red Cross will be here in maybe in 4 hours. These folks will be there in 30 minutes to an hour to get the initial setup, get people out of the cold, get them out of the danger until we can further develop what we need to in their situation.
One quick question. You can also sign up on your website for an emergency alert on your phone, and I have done that. What types of alerts, though, do you send out?
We will set out alerts that are specific to an area, but we don't set out the severe weather alerts. We really want to reserve this system that if you see something across our Story County, Iowa alerts, it's for you. And it's also something very specific beyond the weather source stuff. There, you can either sign up by a community or you can sign up it'll just be by your geographic location, because we will draw a square around the area or a circle around the area being affected and get that message. So if there should be a problem with the water supply system and they need you to boil your water, we could put something like that out. If there was a hazardous materials situation, we could warn residents in that area to evacuate to this location or go and look here for further information.
This is September 10th. Tomorrow, September 11th, and everybody has memories of what happened 17 years ago, 2001, on that horrible day when terrorists attacked the United States. What's your memory of September 11th?
Well, at that time, I was actually in the Air Force Special Operations Command. I was doing some night training at that time. My wife woke me up and we started watching what was on TV. It became obvious that it was terrorism. Quite honestly, at that time, I was actively flying. And I knew it was just a matter of time before we would start deploying.
So you must have been thinking about the people in New York who were having to manage emergency crisis on a multiple level.
Actually, at that time, I wasn't in emergency management.
Oh, you weren't?
Uh-huh. No, I was special operations helicopter pilot. Mm-hmm. So we were going to be on the other end of that. We were probably going to be deployed to try and take action against those that had done the attack.
Oh, you were thinking more on a military term.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So, Keith, one of my main memories of 9/11, I think you can relate to, probably because of the work you do now. I was one of those people in New York that you see standing on the street with their mouth hanging open, because I was working actually a few blocks away from the World Trade Center when it was hit. So I was one of those people standing out on the street, and it was a Tuesday morning, and it was, a business day, and the 7th Avenue, the street that goes down to the World Trade Center, is a truck route.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very busy street. And so you had this, confusion of all these people that were standing out. All of us were standing out on the street, watching what was happening. And then you also had all these trucks that were trying to make deliveries. And so the police had deployed officers to stand and kind of try and make sure nobody got hit by cars and kind of keep some sort of semblance of order in this chaos. And there was a policeman standing just about 2 feet in front of me. And he was an elderly gentleman. But his partner was very young. He looked like he was in his early 20s. And he was standing maybe 10 feet ahead of him, and he was directing traffic. And when the North Tower came down, it was a little bit after that, the young officer, I saw him all of a sudden spin around and lock eyes with the policeman that was standing right next to me. And the young policeman was crying. And you could see by his eyes that he was having a panic attack. And I watched, it was just such an interesting thing. I watched these two police officers, they just locked eyes and just looked at each other for maybe a minute or two. It felt like longer, but it was probably about maybe 2 minutes. And then you could see the panic kind of subside again in the young man, and then he went back to work. And later on, I learned that the North Tower was where their precinct was.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was seeing, was the comprehension that they had probably lost their companions.
How did you feel? So, were you terrified? Did you think the world was coming to an end at that point?
No. I think I felt like everybody else. Like, this looked like a science fiction movie, and it was astonishing. But I didn't feel terrified. Now, it's interesting. You know, I was standing north of the towers, and so the wind was blowing south. And so, as you remember, it was a very, very beautiful day. I mean, it probably was in Iowa, too. And, you know, people were sitting in cafes drinking cappuccinos. It was – now, I've seen movies of the people who were south of the towers, and they actually felt that they were in a war situation, and they were evacuated with the boats. And they really felt that this was a a war situation. And it, I remember watching that movie and thinking how much difference a few blocks can make. Yeah. We were standing north of the towers, and this was very surreal. And obviously we all realized something huge was happening. But I don't remember being frightened. I remember being horrified because you could see the people jumping out of the windows. Mm-hmm. And that was just absolutely horrifying. But I thought you could relate to that, you know, as an emergency worker, the need to, you know, stay calm.
Well, that's
when terrible things are happening.
And again, military background on it. It takes some training, and it takes having been through multiple situations like that where you are stunned. It's hard for the mind to comprehend that.
What's happening?
But once the mind does click in that this is happening, then to get back to business.
Yeah, and that's I saw that process happen between those two men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we're going to have to leave it at that. Keith, thank you for coming in. Keith Morgan, Emergency Management Coordinator, Story County. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
See you again next month. You've been listening to Local Talk.
You can hear more interviews like this on Local Talk Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on 89.1 KHOI Community Radio. You can support Community Radio through the donate button at khoifm.org.